One morning he said, "John, one thing troubles me." I inquired what it was. "My unprofitableness," he said, "in the things of God. What a worthless thing I have been all my life long." I told him that God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, that he was one of those foolish things that God had chosen, and to this hundreds could bear their faithful testimony from the power that had attended his ministry. "Ah," he said, "the work is his, he will work, and who shall let or hinder it?" "The other day," said he, "a thought crossed my mind whether what I had preached was God's truth. Then it crossed my mind again, and there are none of the Lord's servants tempted like that. They know what they preached was the truth of God." Well, this drove me to the old spot, a throne of grace, begging the Lord to show it me if there were any. And oh, how sweetly the Lord said, "Now when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, saying unto him, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" Thus I saw poor John and I were something alike. On November 22nd, Mr. Tiptaft called upon him and has favored us with the following particulars of his interview. I went to preach for Mr. Warburton on Lord's Day, November 23rd. He was then very ill, and every day was expected to be his last. I called on Saturday evening. He was sitting by the fire in his bedroom and appeared to be in a very happy frame of mind, and under the influence of the blessed enjoyments he had had the previous night, which he attempted to describe as well as he was able in his very feeble state. He said that his enjoyments were as great during the night as his soul could contain, and that the words of David were applicable to his state of mind, "And thou anointedst my head with oil, my cup runneth over." He spoke of giving utterance to the feelings of his heart by quoting loudly various portions of scripture and verses of hymns, and seemed as if he had strength to preach, which surprised his family while listening to him. On the Tuesday evening following, after preaching, I called again and found him in a very different frame of soul. Instead of praising and blessing God, he was begging and praying for the enjoyment of divine blessings. He did not take a high place, but honestly said, "I am now in the poor publican's place, begging for mercy." The little that he could say each time was commended to my conscience, as if he was honestly speaking his feelings, as a dying man hourly expecting to be removed from this vale of tears. Aside, he preached at Abingdon to two large and overflowing congregations on one Lord's Day in June 1856, and many were very much blessed in hearing him. And although he did not think that he could preach the second time, yet he was enabled to speak about an hour, and loudly too, and enjoyed much in his own soul of the glorious gospel, which was heard with much savor and dew by many of the Lord's people, and such a blessed time in hearing will not soon be forgotten. In November, Mr. John Gatsby went to Trowbridge to see him, when the following conversation took place. Mr. Gatsby asked him if he had no care about the church. "Have I no care about the church?" said he. "I feel sometimes as if I never had had a church or a chapel at all. I have to think before I can find the way to the chapel in my mind, and sometimes I get to the corner of the street and can't get any further." And then, turning the conversation, he said, Oh, to think of that park lane near the Dove House. The Dove House was a little cottage in Lincolnshire. I remember going with the two children and finding all my things marked to be sold for rent. And now look at me. Here I am surrounded with feather pillows, for he was resting upon the sofa supported by feather pillows. I once walked round my garden here, and I saw a hamper that had had some fruit and things in that a friend had sent me, and another that had had some wine in. Then I went into the kitchen, and there was plenty of everything. And I said, "Is this old Warburton the pauper? Ah, bless the Lord! All the paupers in the town ought to follow me to my grave, and for I'm sure I'm the biggest of the lot." "Isn't it wonderful," he soon afterwards said to Mr. Gatsby, "that such an old irritable fool as I have been as should be made to lie so quiet? I assure thee, lad, I hardly ever have a single anxious thought about any one thing. But sometimes I feel callous, as it were. I lie like a stone and seem to care for nothing without any feeling of resignation. Then I cry to the Lord, 'Do let me feel thee once again.' And then he comes, and it so upsets my nerves and causes such a palpitation of the heart that I have to beg of him to go away again. I can't stand it, for I can't breathe. The shortness of breath is quite new to me, and when it first came I thought it was all nonsense, and I was determined I would break through it. So I went and preached and made as much noise as ever I did in my life, and felt so much better after it that I was sure it was all nonsense. But that was my last sermon. The doctor said he wondered I had not died in the pulpit. I remember once, when thy father was here, going with him to Mr. H.'s, and he walked along well enough till we came to a little bit of a rise, only about half a yard, and then he stopped to take breath. And I said to him, 'Why, man, there's no hill here. It's only fancy.' And then we came to level ground again, and off he went again as well as ever. So I said to him, 'It's only nervousness, I'm sure.' 'No,' he said, 'that's all. It's only nervousness. And now, John, as you know the disease, tell the remedy.' Poor dear man, I found it out now, and how he did suffer with his breath for years, while mine's only just now. How this tabernacle is being broken down," he continued, "so gradually. It could not stand much of either joy or sorrow." "Well," said Mr. Gatsby, "the Lord is just giving you as much as you can bear." "Ay," said he, "that's it. Bless his dear name." Mr. Gatsby then said, "Many of our friends know that I've come over to see you. What shall I say to them?" "Tell them," he replied, with much emphasis, "tell them I am firmly resting upon the electing love of the Father, the redeeming blood and justifying righteousness of the Son, and the comfortings, leadings, and teachings of the Holy Ghost. And tell them that though I have preached these things for 50 years, I never felt them before as I feel them now. Farewell." "Farewell, my dear friend," responded Mr. Gatsby. January 1st, 1857. In the night he said, "What a sight to see Jesus." After a little while he said, "It is like fighting, sometimes up and sometimes down, just like my preaching. The poor thief at the 11th hour, those that had borne the heat and burden of the day, and those that had worked but 1 hour, received the same, all had their penny. Oh, the sovereignty of God! I have been fighting all through." His daughter said, "Yes, and you will gain the victory at last." "Victory, victory," he said, "it is through the blood of the Lamb. Some people don't like such a religion as this, all done and finished. They want to do something, but I can do nothing. It is of Him, and to Him, and through Him be all the glory. A little while after, he said, Well, my poor old worm is traveling to his glorious home. My Jesus, how long? I am afraid of offending the Lord. He is so good. I want to feel more joys, but let me look where I will. There are the promises surrounding me. On Wednesday, he said, How strange all the past things seem, just like a dream. But there is one thing needful, a sight of Jesus. There it is. Ah, look where the Lord met with me and convinced me of sin, the place where, the manner how, he stopped me in a course of sin. Oh, what a sinner I was! How righteous God would have been had he sent me to hell. I had merited it 10,000 times over, but instead of this, he raised me from the depths of guilt and sorrow to bless and praise him for showing mercy to one so vile. And yet there is something tells me, how do you know whether all that was real or not? Yet my heart does not condemn me, and the scripture says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. January 2nd, he said, I feel rather dark, which seemed to continue for some little time. In the course of the day, he was heard to say, Oh, how astonishing for me to have a hope of seeing Jesus. How good it is. Bless the Lord. He has been with me. January 3rd, he said, Oh, what a scene to pass the River Jordan. But bless the Lord, he has told me, he will be with me in those deep waters, and not leave or forsake me. He has brought me through thus far, and every tongue that has risen up against me, he has condemned. But I feel at times such a hard heart that grieves me. After a little sleep, he said, Dear Lord, be with me. Give me strength and patience to wait thy blessed time. January 7. He was for some time repeating, my dear Lord, if there is any condemnation, do show me. But bless his dear name, he exclaimed. He has blotted out my sins like a cloud. That was a trying spot for Job to be in, when he said, Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. January 9th. He said, How wonderful that God keeps me in the body so long. Upon one of his daughters remarking, You want to be gone? He said, When the Lord smiles, I do, but when he withdraws, I want to stay here. Friday afternoon, he was some time before he could speak. He appeared quite overcome. At last he said, What? Give him up that has been with me 60 years? No, devil, I won't. I should give him up and cast him from me if the devil had his will. He seemed quite exhausted and asked for some refreshment, remarking, If this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, let me have something to nourish it. On taking a little arrowroot, he said, The Lord could strengthen me with a cup of cold water if it were his blessed will. Oh, he said, The devil will roar at me for this visit if suffered. The prophet Isaiah said, And those that were with him, We mourn sore like doves and roar like bears. And oh, there is the old man that hates Jesus, but bless his name, I have the new man that loves him. Yes, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I must not quit this mortal life till he pleases. Some little time after, he said, Oh, the blessed truths I have felt and enjoyed in times past. Job was something like me when he said, Oh, that it were with me as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Dear Jesus, what didst thou suffer when the floodgates of wrath were poured forth upon thy holy soul? Thou never meritedst one stroke. My dear Jesus, give me a meek and quiet spirit. Thou canst do no wrong. Thou art too wise to err, too good to be unkind. His medical man called to see him, and when he was gone, he said, It is Jesus, the great physician, I want. He can heal with one look, but here I am as I was yesterday, strength just equal to the day. But when my poor soul gets to that place of rest that is laid up for the church of God, one of his daughters said to him, Ah, father, you will have a song then, to which he answered, I shall, my child, all of grace, free grace, from first to last. What a shout there will be to free grace. When the last vessel of mercy is landed in glory, then the last top stone will be brought with shouting, Grace, grace unto it. He requested to be raised up, and with assistance he lifted himself up a little. One of his daughters said, I wish we could do something to rest your legs. Let them alone, he said. My dear, that is rebellion. Oh, what a mercy I am, not given up to a rebellious spirit. On a friend calling that had been to the prayer meeting, who said, You have not been forgotten tonight. Ah, he answered, I cannot talk about what I have done. Two of the deacons came to see him. To them he spoke of the goodness of the Lord to his soul, and said, I feel more love to you now than ever I did in all my life. Oh, he said, what a shout I shall give by and by. If the Lord would give me strength, I could preach now. I have no anxiety about the world, no more than if there was no world. Still, I have not those excessive joys I have had. I look to see if there is any condemnation, but the Scriptures do not condemn me, nor yet conscience. I feel there is no judgment for me, but I want to feel more of the Lord's presence. My soul wants to be always resigned to His blessed will, and never feel a hard heart or a wandering thought. But if I had it as I want it, where would my tribulation be?